Exodus, and we're going to go right back and, Lord willing, try to make some more progress in this passage of Scripture that we saw last week. And I don't know about you, but I had a pretty good week with the Lord, and I hope that I got some response back for some folks from beginning of this last week. And I don't know if it carried on necessarily through the week, but certainly I hope that the Holy Spirit reminded you through the week that He spoke to all of our hearts last Sunday night concerning His presence in our life. I don't know about you, but I need His presence in my life and in every aspect of my life. And so I want to continue this passage of Scripture, Exodus chapter 33, if you have your Bibles. And let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. I would like to go back and capture this thought here, and I think you have an outline. I'm going to, now this message, like I said last week, is a three-point message. I'm going to go back and just briefly review the first point, make sure those of you that weren't able to be here will fill in with me. If you had last week's outline, you may want to use that one instead so that you can kind of get a running start into the second point. I asked Brother Sienna to pray for me. You can pray for me as well. I don't know if we'll be able to finish this message again tonight, and that's okay. I have to be okay with that. And so I'm just confessing to you that last week I do not believe that we could have that we would have been able to grasp all we needed to in the first point if we had gone through all of them. And so I praise the Lord for the way that He met with us, and I'm going to ask Him tonight if He wants me to put on the brakes and stop at point two, then we'll stop at point two and we'll not go forward. And so I'm just asking Him while I'm preaching. I'll be praying and asking the Lord what you want me to do, and we'll just listen. And what I want to do, though, is this. I want to squeeze everything that we can out of every living verse. And I want us to take it for what it is. Listen, it is the living Word of God. It is the inerrant, inspired, preserved Word for us, and we have got to have it. And so as we read this again tonight, I want us to get it so we can get in our mind again where we are in this journey with the people of Israel. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it." Now notice the phrase, "Depart and go up hence." Remember, the children of Israel have turned their back on God. They have said, we want you, Aaron, to make us gods. And they made a god to look like an ox. And then they got in trouble with God. So remember that phrase, depart and go up hence. Verse 2 says, "And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." Now, if you will, turn over to verse 12. Verse 12. After the Lord says what He will and He will not do, He makes a statement, "Look, I want you to go and put off thine ornaments so that I can know what I ought do unto thee." And then, to be honest, I mean, if we could paraphrase it, Israel repents. They feel bad, and they've taken off those things that they have adorned to try to make them feel good about themselves. And they've decided to get their heart right. Verse 12, the Bible says, as the great mediator, the type of Christ, Moses, pleads now, and he says unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, that is God, said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence not go with me, carry us not up hence." Now, that's why I said to you in the first verse that God said, "Go, depart, and go up hence." Now, here's Moses' response, and he says, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of this earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful picture, Lord, in our text tonight that we are getting, or we are able to rehearse yet again. And Father, I want to be a faithful plowman tonight, and I just want to walk the fields with the precious Holy Spirit of God, and as the Word of God, as Lord, as your instrument to dig deeper and to discern farther the thoughts and intents of our heart. God, as I do so, I pray that you'd give me wisdom and that you'll place on my heart the exact things I need to say and how far I need to go for thy people's sake. This indeed is your church. We are thy people. God, I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. I pray that you'd make me holy and acceptable unto God for my reasonable service. Lord, please help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I could have your filling, that your Holy Spirit would just use me as a vessel and preach through me as your mouthpiece. Lord, that you would help me to say only in all of those things that you would have me to say. And Lord, that you would at the same time refrain from me and hold back from my mouth those things that would be a hindrance to your work. Lord, I pray that, Lord, without trying to create a mood or an emotion, I pray, Lord, that we would capture the essence of your presence, but then we would discover that in your presence is exactly where we want to be. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. Certainly, Lord, it would be better not to have church and have the presence of God than to meet here without it. So I pray that you'd come and that you'd have liberty in our souls and in our hearts tonight, that the Word of God would have free course, and that at the end of this service, you would once again be glorified in our life. Prepare us for the week ahead. Lord, if you tarry, I pray that you would help us to make a difference this week. And in each and every day, I pray that we would sincerely desire thy presence. I pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'll not preach the entire first portion of the message, but we do need to understand that this portion of Scripture is a great illustration of a New Testament truth, and that is where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that's a great picture. It's something that we need to remember each and every day, that yes, we may fail, and I'm so grateful that when I fail, and we should be so grateful as a people of God that when we do fail, and by the way, don't overlook the word sin. It's still in the Bible. Use it. When we do sin against God, where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound. God is always more than willing and always ready to forgive. Though we may not be the same in repenting, God is always wanting to be merciful, and He's always seeking whom may turn back to Him and repent and to get things right. To understand fully what is being said here, again, last week, we went through the narrative of the events, that there was an awful sin where the children of Israel turned their back on God and they made a horrible beast and they changed the likeness of God into a four-footed animal. And then we, of course, see the intercession of Moses that would avert the consuming wrath of God. And then we see the repentance of Israel, as I just jump over here. And then Moses says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. God said He can't be in the midst of us, so I'm going to take the tabernacle of the congregation by faith. Now, not the full tabernacle, as we said a few weeks ago, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to pitch it by faith. And I don't know if God will come out there to me, but I'm going to go out to seek His presence. And as He does, Moses goes out and God shows up and the pillar of fire comes down. And the Bible says that Moses spoke to God face to face as a friend doth speak to a friend, and it was a great encouragement. In fact, the children of Israel turned and they followed Moses out there, and everybody that wanted to seek the Lord, the Bible says, they were able to then go out of the camp and followed up on their own repentance. Now, remember, Israel's sin had necessitated the retirement of a holy God, and He could not remain in their vicinity lest He would consume them. He said, look, if I come up in the midst of thee, I'm going to consume thee. So rather than that, I'm going to send you an angel. And so we understand the same thing is true today. If we're going to draw nigh unto God, only then will He draw nigh unto us. But the caveat is, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. and purify your hearts, you double-minded. A lot of people would say, yes, I want God's presence, and certainly I want God's blessing, and certainly I want God's grace, but they're not willing to give up their sin. There are plenty of people who would rather have both. Can I just say, based on the Word of God, you can't. You're not allowed to have both. You can't have God's power, you cannot have God's grace until you are willing to repent and turn from thy wicked ways and seek His face. Then will He hear from heaven, then will He forgive your sin, and only then will He hear your land. Somebody say amen. That's the truth. That's the Bible principle. And so God teaches us this over and over, and the same is true for us today. Praise the Lord that our God is slow to wrath, amen, that He's of great mercy, and that He forbears our manners for so long. He said, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. I am so thankful that nothing that I could ever do shall ever separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That is a great truth for the Christian. And so we went through this passage of Scripture, and we talked about the fact that there was, number one, a desire for God's presence, that Moses had a desire, and I made this statement, and I think it's in your notes, that every one of us is as close to God as He has chosen to be. Now, let me ask you a question. This last week, how did you choose? How close did you want to be to God? Did you really want His presence? Because Moses wanted His presence more than anything. In fact, we said, letter A, that he said there was a vacancy in a figure. God said, look, I'm not going to go up with you, but I'm going to send an angel. And that angel's going to go before you, and he's going to drive out all the enemies that you have, and he's going to help you to have victory, and you're going to obtain the land flowing with milk and honey. Go back in chapter 33 and look at verse 2, and I will send an angel before thee. Verse 1, it says, brought up out of the land of Egypt unto a land which I swear unto thee. And then verse 3, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And we said that this angel was going to go before him. And for most people, they would be okay with that. Okay, so God can't go with me. Okay, so I don't have the presence of God in my life. Is it that big of a deal? And I said, for some people, it's enough just to have a godly adult Bible teacher. For some people, it's enough just to have a goodly Sunday school teacher. For some people, it's enough to have a preacher or a pastor that's out front fighting the fight and bearing the burden and spreading the gospel. It's enough. But Moses would not settle for that. He said, there's not enough in that figure that I want. That's not enough to have someone before me. I'm not going to be content with him before me. I want you. I don't want your angel. I want God. I don't want your messenger. I don't want your preacher. I don't want your adult Bible curriculum. I want God. That's what he said. I don't want anybody else. I'm not going to be content. I'm not going to settle. He said, there's a vacancy in a figure. And then he said, letter B, there's a great vacuity in victory. Though I may obtain successes, though I may have all of my enemies driven out, though I may obtain all of these lands, and we could certainly draw a parallel, though we may have all of the houses, and we may have a grand church that sits someday 1,000 people and a big parking lot, that would be good. It would not be good if we didn't have the presence of God. And that's what he said. So many people have decided, I would be okay if it was just to have a house and a few cars and some good kids, and if I could just pay the bills. I just want the physical successes. Moses said, you can have it. I would rather go up and down in this desert. I would rather be without all of that land, but if I've got God, I've got everything that I need. I don't want anything but the presence of God. God said, Moses, I would give you success in battle. And Moses was not willing to settle. He would rather walk up and down in the desert with the presence of God than to conquer all of the great lands and live in the luxury of Eshcol without him. He would much rather have God. Most couples, I said last week, are settling for a marriage without God. Most families are settling for a home without God. And they just want everyone to be happy. They just want to condescend and do whatever. I just don't want to ruffle any feathers. And all the while, as I said, you could just put Ichabod across the door, because the glory of the Lord is not in that house. They are content without the presence of God. And Moses said, listen, I want none of that. I don't want to settle for an under-shepherd just going before me. I don't want to settle for all of these lands. I don't want success. God, if it means I can't have you, then I don't want any of it. And that's where we left off. We left off last week when God met with us and said, listen, We need to give it all. It's not about what we drive. It's not about where we live. It's not about the successes of our career. It is about the presence of God in our life if we're ever going to do anything worth doing. If God will ever bless us with anything, friend, the greatest desire we can have is God's presence. Last week we said, David said, as the heart panteth over after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He said, my soul longeth, yea, fainteth, he said, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. As for me, he said, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy kindness. See, the fact of the matter is, nothing compares to the presence of God. And I don't know if you settled this week or not. Maybe you settled. Maybe you thought, you know, Lord, if you could just work these deals out for me. And we sometimes, unfortunately, treat God like a spiritual bellhop. Like a concierge service. Lord, can you give me some good restaurants in the area? Lord, could you give me the easiest pathway here? Could you just smooth things over for me, Lord? I'd really like you to bring my luggage up to me because I don't want to have to go all the way down to the lobby. Lord, could you just settle this for me? Could you do this? Could you do that? And we're asking, and we would rather have success than His presence. But I'm here to tell you that if I have His presence, I already have all the success that I need. It follows. God, I want to have my heart right. I don't want to settle. I don't want successes. I want Your presence. So Moses displays. He makes it pretty clear and very evident. He says in chapter 33, if you go over, as he already said, my presence will, in verse 14, God says, look, Moses, listen, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said, if thy presence go not up with me, carriest not a pence. So we see the desire for God's presence. Now, let's just think for a minute, then what happens when we have it? And you're not going to have it if you don't want it. And that's just the facts. You don't want God's presence in your life because when I get through the design and duty, you're going to know I either have it or I don't. And for some people, they don't really want it because it will change everything. It really will change your marriage. Hello? It really will change your home. It'll change your children if you seekest after it with all of your heart. What's the design? Letter number two, what is the design of God's presence? Well, as we look in our text, the Bible says, now therefore, in verse 13, I pray thee, Moses pleading back to God as a friend speaks to a friend in the face, if I have found grace in thy sight, O God, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carriest not a pence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The children of Israel have humbled themselves, and God has seen their heart of repentance, and he has heard the prayers of their great mediator, the man Moses, who is the friend of God, and his presence then is reacquired. Hallelujah for second chances, and hallelujah for mercy, and hallelujah for the promise of God that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins. And now the presence of God has been reacquired. In our text, then Moses' prayer reveals much of what the Bible teaches us concerning the design of God's presence in our life. What does that presence do? Why is it such a big deal? What happens to us when we do reacquire God's presence? Okay, we came to church this morning and we got a little convicted and we confessed some sin, and tonight we're already feeling the sensing of God and pulling us closer to the cross and desiring to make us more like His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do obtain that presence, what's the design? What is the end goal? What is it in our text that is revealed to us as to the important design of God's presence in us? By the way, His presence is in you if you're a born-again child of God. If you have not the Spirit of God, you're not of His. Friend, if you're not a born-again child of God, that is, you've never trusted Jesus alone as your Savior, and you can't recall a time when you put your faith there, then you don't have the Spirit, and you don't have God if you don't have His Spirit. That's just the facts. The fact of the matter is, what kind of rest would this life be without God? What kind of rest would the next life be without God? I will tell you, that's no rest. There is a rest for our souls because we are in Christ, but God says, I've got a rest for you here. So what's the design? Is it just so we can kick back and rest in our lees? Is it just so we can say, hey, I got God, and we wear Him like a sticker, not of this world, in the back of our car, and that's all that it is? No, it's far greater than that. I want you to notice, first of all, the design of God's presence with us, letter A, is to make us different. God's very presence in your life is designed to make you different. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. How is it that we know? Is it not that thou goest with us? Is it not in the very fact that we have you? Is it not in the very fact that we have been accepted? The fact that God would even acknowledge His people and by His presence in their life lets the world know that they belong to Him. That's the whole idea. Take your Bibles, keep your finger here, and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I had not planned on this verse, but the Lord just put it on my heart, so I feel like we need to go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now in chapter 6, if you're in my Sunday school class, you know that we read a healthy portion of that where it says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. That is, teenagers, you ought not date and marry someone unsaved. Amen. You ought not marry someone unsaved. You ought not be involved with them that way. Why? Because the Bible says you don't have anything in common. There's no communion. There's no fellowship. There's no part. There's nothing that you have that is alike with them. For what fellowship hath darkness with light? None. And so after he gives the great dissertation, be not unequally yoked together, in verse 18 of chapter 6 it says, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Look up here. That's the same God in Exodus 33. Don't forget that. It's the same God. Watch this. One of the greatest doctrines, the fundamental doctrines of the Bible, is the immutability of God Almighty. He is never changing. He is the same. Now, based on what he said, look at chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these precious promises, comma, dearly beloved, comma, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What's God's design in living in you and I? What's God's design of the design of His presence? I will tell you, is that we would be different. His very presence and acknowledging us among men makes us different. The Bible says in Isaiah 43 and verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. If you're a Christian, say amen. You belong to God. Thou art mine. Now we know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. We know that the tithe is the Lord's, that the silver, God says, is mine, and the gold is mine, and the earth is mine. It's all mine, but so are you and I. Now, if that be true, the very presence of God's divine Spirit among us, leading us, changing us, granting us peace, giving us grace above measure, provides something that no one else has. It's hope. God's divine presence in you is a living hope that God would be so merciful. You see, the presence of God lights the soul with hope, no matter what may come. That very presence always providing, I have been acknowledged. I have been accepted by God. He is pleased to draw near unto me because I have come to Him and I've come clean. That very presence changes me. It makes me different. It makes me not want to sin. It makes me want to respond like Jesus responded. It makes me want to love like Jesus loved. that makes me want to have compassion on them because they have no shepherd and they're tossed about. It makes me start to think of things above, not on things of this earth. It makes me think on things that are just, things that are right, things that are holy, things that are pure. It changes me. You see, if God be with me and if God be with you, then we must be different because of His presence. Else, I guess we could say, is God truly with us? Let me ask you a question. Was He really with you this week? Was He really? Because the design of His presence is so that you and I would be different. How different were you this week? Someone came to me this morning after the message. They said, "Preacher, I want to wear His coat well. I want to wear the coat of God well." You know what they want? His presence. You see, it's designed to make us different. What peace or joy or love will be manifested in my life if He doesn't go with me? Friend, if He doesn't go with you work tomorrow, how different are you going to be? If you don't seek Him first, how really different are you going to be? Look, we all know the answer. We're not going to be indifferent. We'll be just like everyone else in practice, though in position, we would say, thankfully, tonight in this room, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. But if that be our promise, then certainly every day we must seek His presence. If we could sit here in this room tonight secured by the grace of Almighty God, ought we not seek His presence every day? Ought we not to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God for our reasonable service daily? That we would be crucified with Christ, nevertheless we ought live, yet not I or you, but Christ living in us. That we would have a different life. That's the whole purpose. Why would God have it any other way? Your home ought to be different because of the presence of God. Your marriage ought to be different because of the presence of God. By the way, teenagers, so should your classroom. So should your office cubicle be different because of the presence of God. Someone said, our sanctity depends upon communion with God. Like the moon, we are bright while the sun shines on our face. Look, it's designed that way. You can't, we're going to see it here in a little bit, you can't be in the presence, and you can't really be in the presence of God. You cannot really have the presence of God. You cannot really meet with God and not be different. It's impossible. That's the design. He said, is it not in that thou goest with us? So, look what it says, so shall we be separated. We're going to be different. We're not going to be like them. We're not going to act like them. Though, by the way, this is a great principle, though their actions just a few days prior indicated something entirely different. Before you get on them and before you say, how in the world could they do that? Remember that they repented a few days prior. And yet now Moses is saying, look, I know what we did, but God forgive us. And by your very presence, we're going to be separated. We're going to be different. We're not going to be like them. And that was their heart, and I believe it. By the way, every time you and I blow it, that's our heart, isn't it? At least it ought to be. What's the design of God's presence? Well, that it would make us different. Secondly, His presence becomes our defense. His presence becomes our defense. It says, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. If an angel were to go before and grant the victory, how much sweeter and exceedingly more abundant the victory when God is not before us but with us? Wouldn't it be much better to have a victory in Jesus, with Jesus, while you walk with Jesus, rather than tagging along with somebody else that has His presence? Wouldn't it be much sweeter if he was actively involved in your life? That as he went, you went with him, not before him. You see, he was already with them in Egypt. He was already there while he was destroying a nation. He was with them while as a shining light, though he was as a dark pillar to all the enemies. He was with them while they walked through on dry ground, though at the same time he was drowning the armies. He had already been with them. He was with them when Amalek fell upon their hinder parts. So they were wanting it again, and God acquiesced. You see, every child of God must acknowledge, listen, how safe they have been when they have enjoyed the presence of God. We've got to acknowledge tonight that we are never any more safe than when we have and we have secured God's grace at the very beginning of the day. Listen to me. It is harder to obtain and to seek God's face after lunch. In fact, one old writer said, if you're not going to find him in the morning, you will seek him as hard as you can. You probably will not find him the rest of the day. The fact of the matter is, if you don't have him, then you may not have him the rest of the day. And I'm not saying and suggesting that the Holy Spirit leaves us. I'm just saying those of us know the difference when we have and we are secured in that presence that's manifested with us all day long, and we are never any more safer than that. In fact, when you get out of the presence of God, you're liable for the temptations which are normally scarce while you are walking with God. When you are walking with God, you could be in the lion's den, friend, and no lion is going to touch you. When you are walking with God, you could be in the midst of infidels and wicked men that are saying all kinds of things, but you can safely stand in the midst of them with a bridled tongue and a clear conscience. The presence of God be with you. Daniel is an attestation to that. Joseph is the same. You go through the Bible, and though there may be other things around them, you find Paul standing in the midst of a storm and in a boatload of unbelievers saying, I believe God, when no one else did. You see the difference in your life? The difference in temptation, the difference in sin is based on the presence of God in your life. What is it it's designed to do? It becomes our defense. An old preacher said, when we dwell in God, the baser passions of our life lie still like the beasts on Noah's ark. They cause no uproar. But when God is gone, those baser passions rush to the front, and the inferior appetites of the flesh and the propensities try to get the mastery over us and cause us all sorts of trouble. Boy, if that doesn't describe a life that goes through the day without meeting with God in the morning, I don't know what does. But while we are abiding in the presence of God, we may safely stand. We may be among the lions, but no lion can touch us when God is with us. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2 in your notes. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. I love that verse. You may go down to the deeps, but when thou passest through waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because I'm there. That's what God's presence does. It becomes your defense. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 10, Paul was wondering how long he should stay in Corinth. And God said, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt, for I have much people in the city. That's one of the glorious verses of the New Testament. I have much people here, Paul, and I'm giving you my personal guarantee. I am with thee. And friend, what you need tomorrow is that phrase. But you got to go seek it. You've got to desire it. And when you do, when you are earnest and when you are willing to say, God, I don't want anybody else to go before me. I want to go with you. I want your presence with me. God, I don't want success if I can't have it, if I can't have you. Take everything away that I might have thee. And if I have thee, then I have enough. And God, when that happens, I know that you're going to be with me. It doesn't matter what the wind may do. It doesn't matter how deep the waters may come. It doesn't matter how they might beat vehemently on my house. I will stand firm because I am planted today on the rock. It becomes our defense. Letter C, it provides us direction. It provides direction. You see, their path. Now you think about this, and we may study it a bit here in a little while, but their path was an awful strange one. If you have a study Bible and you ever look at the path of the children of Israel, it's all over the place. It's kind of like those of us that don't want to believe the GPS and think we can make it on our own, and we just wander around, and we don't want to stop and ask for directions. They're just going all over the place. It was going backwards. It was going in. It was going out. It was going forwards. But here's what we know from Scripture. The Bible tells us in Psalm 107 and verse 7 through 9, "And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Do you understand the magnitude of that verse? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Did you know God is good? He's good all the time. And He's so good, He's never going to leave you. He's so good that He wants to go with you. He's so good that if you'll let Him lead you, He will fill you every single day if you'll just let Him go. He wants to be with you. He wants to speak to you face to face. He wants to desire Him as much as He desires you. And if you'll seek Him, He'll add all these things to you if you'll just do it. If I will just do it, He promises, "I will fill the longing soul, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I will instruct thee, I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Oh, to have the presence of God in the morning and at noon and in the evening. No wonder Daniel prayed 3 times a day. No wonder it was normal for David to sacrifice the watches so that he could look to the eastern gate. No wonder those men had the presence of God. Why? They were being guided by His eye. They could see Him. They were speaking to Him as a man speaking to a friend, face to face. That's what happens when you desire God's presence in your life. You see, God said, "Look, I want to fill your soul. I want to show you where that habitation is. I want to lead you." And He said, "I will go with thee and I will give you rest." Now look, that sounds great, but I'm not talking about a good night's sleep. I'm talking about knowing where you're going every day. Look, I'm happy. What a day it'll be. We're going to go to heaven. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. That's going to be awesome. But until that day, there are many days in between where we still need guidance. God's got a place for you to go tomorrow. I don't know what that entails for you. The question is not, do you have a place to go? The question is He going to go with you? And if He goes with you, the Bible says that He will lead you. And if He's going to lead you, my friend, He's going to satisfy the longing of your soul. Let me ask you this. What is your soul longing for? You better long for His presence. If you really want to experience God's presence, all you have to do is choose it. Someone said to have the sense of God's presence is better than common sense, and to trust in Him for guidance is far better than being shrewd. I don't know about you, but I was still floating and still yet being so convicted all week long. I kept making the statement to God, "If Thy presence go not with me, then carry me not a pence." I want the presence of God. I need it. Moses desired it and he got it. It became a defense for him. It became something of what he longed for. And when he got it, he was willing to follow the direction. Letter D, it's also designed to supply true comfort. True comfort. Think about the context of our passage tonight. Think about all the people. Now look, the fact of the matter is they still had to go through the Hivite. They still had to go through the Jebusite and all the other ites that it mentions at the beginning of chapter 33. They still had to do that. But because God was with them, they had a genuine comfort of soul. Watch this. When we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, there's always great comfort. You know what I'm telling you is the gospel truth. When you walk in this building and you are genuinely worshiping God, and some of you do it very well, I've watched you from week to week, you're genuinely singing from your heart, not from your mouth. You're genuinely praying when people are praying. you know as well as I do, it doesn't even have to be a Sunday. When you're worshiping God on a Monday through Saturday, truly at essence, there is nothing that can disturb your soul. Why? Because God's there. God's the creator and sustainer of all life. He is the Almighty God. How many believe in the infinite power of God? Okay. This will segue into next week, and I'll not get into it, but the fact of the matter is, we must believe that He is. Now listen, part of the is that He is everywhere present. We cannot worship Him in that in a manner of spirit and of truth if we feel Him to be absent. There's no comfort there. Now look, be very careful. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit will do this. I'm hoping the next time you or I come in here and we're singing songs that are hollow instead of holy, the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, what are you doing? Do you want me here today or not? Do you want the comfort of soul that I have, that I'm bringing? Because I am the Almighty God. I know what you've gone through this week. In fact, I'm so almighty and infinite in wisdom, I know what you're going through, what you're going to go through this next week. And if you're going to gain any comfort of soul, then you need to believe that I am. Moses. Once Moses finally came around, because God knew him by name, that's the reference here. Thou saidst, thou knew me by name. God says, you're right, I do know you by name. And I'm going to give you grace. Thou hast found grace in my sight. So much so that I am with thee. I don't know about you, but when Moses said to God way back at the beginning, okay, look, you got me. I'm going to go back to Egypt. I'll probably die, but in the event that I don't, I'm paraphrasing, whom shall I say sent me? God said, I'm enough. That's what he said. I am. I'm Jehovah Shammah. I am the Almighty. I am the one that you need to tell them about. And that's the one that we have true comfort in when we let Him be enough. When we let God be enough in our life, that gives us comfort. At least I hope it does for you. What are you going through that's bigger than God? The answer, Pastor, is nothing. What problem is so big God can't solve? What need is so deep that He can't meet? None of them. That's what it's designed to. No worship will do us good or can be accepted with God except the Lord be present with us in it. When you live in the presence of God, you know that your worship is truly delightful and your comfort is great. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and bring forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. Watch. As I go through the week and I desire His presence, and all of a sudden it makes me different. I start going through day-to-day life, and my life is lived out, and I've learned my lesson, and I'm minding my business, and I'm going to work because it's my personal responsibility not to sponge off of anybody else's grace. Amen. As I do that and God's presence is there, now all of a sudden, not only am I different, but now I feel the defense of God. Doesn't matter what the world is saying. Doesn't matter what may come my way. Now all of a sudden, instead of just Him being my defense, now all of a sudden I'm comforted in His presence. Now, based on who He finally is, I can worship Him freely. Now I have joy. Now I can truly sing to heavens. And it matters that I desired Him at the beginning of the day. The fact of the matter is that God tells us, behold, I have graven thee upon the palm of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You see, He supplies the true comfort because He has provided my direction, and all I've done is obey Him. Man, would to God, wouldn't it be great? You realize how much shorter this book would be if Israel said, bing, light bulb. I get it. And all of a sudden, all of this in our study Bibles would be the shortest distance between two points is a. Some of you are like, I don't know. I have to think. It's a straight line. Now look, God wanted all of us to take a straight line. This last week, right to his throne. That's what he wants. That's what he wants tonight and tomorrow. He's going to want for you to make a beeline to his throne of grace. That's what he wants. He desires it. He wants to talk to you. Look, okay, fine. We don't have a fiery pillar. We got the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in here. To me, that's greater. What he desires is to talk to you. He wants you to desire that. You can be as close to God as you choose to be. If you will be. If you will desire his presence, then you will be different. It's God's design. Based on the fact that you've been accepted and he has acknowledged you, thou art mine, you're going to be different. You bear the king's name. You sit at his table. You eat of the crumbs of his bounty every day. And God says, I will lead thee. I will be with thee. I don't know that God could promise any more than he has. I've given unto them all. God is not a man that he should lie. If he is going to say that he's going to do it, when's it going to be enough? When are we going to actually live by design? That doesn't happen without a desire. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you please help us.